You're listening to the New Point Community Church Podcast. For more information about New Point or to get involved, visit newpoint.org/podcast.
Hello, New Point. I want to wish each and every one of you a happy, happy new year. How was 2018? You might say, it was okay, could have been better. Maybe you're thinking, you know, it's a pretty rough year. I'm so thankful that we're able to turn the page. You know, God is a God of new beginnings, fresh starts. Isn't that great? But maybe the reason why 2018 for some of us was hard and difficult was because of our mouth. Maybe our words got us into trouble. Maybe we said some things that really didn't set well. Maybe with our spouse, maybe with our mom, maybe with our dad, maybe with a boss, maybe with an employee, and it got us in trouble. Because we can bring a lot of things on ourselves through our words. And so we're going to look at that for the next several weeks, and we're kicking off a series called My Big Fat Mouth. And so we want to just dive in, and we want to look at this, and it's so important. And I just want to encourage you to make a commitment not to miss one of these, because I'm telling you, it can set the course for an incredible year. Through your words and through what you say and through what I say. Let me just prove it to you, all right? Proverbs tells us, and the wisest man, apart from Jesus Christ, many would say, says this about our words. He says that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Wow. That's sobering, isn't it? That should get our attention. That every time I speak, every time you speak, I'm either speaking death or I'm speaking life. And guess what? He says we will eat the fruit of that. That means that we will reap the consequences of our words. And all of us experience that. If we sow words of life, then we're going to reap life back. If we sow words of death, then we're going to reap death back. And so this should get all of our attention. It's gotten my attention, just working on this and processing this. And yet maybe you would say, you know what, Dwight, my mouth got me in a lot of trouble in 2018. Matter of fact, it's got me in trouble too many times over my life. Well, I've got some good news for you. Because there's a man, okay, his name is Peter, who had a big fat mouth, okay? And he would stick his foot in his mouth repeatedly over and over again. That's why I love the Bible, because the Bible just shoots completely straight. And it tells us about Peter and how he shot off his mouth a number of different times to his leader, Jesus, also to his friends, the disciples. And it got him in trouble. And yet we learn from Peter, okay, that he was able to make a change. So much that he is one of the central figures of the Christian faith. That he went on to write two books that we know as 1st and 2nd Peter. And so that speaks hope to me, okay? And I trust that it speaks hope to you, that I can change, that you can change, no matter how many times we have stumbled or shot off our big fat mouth. Because here's what he writes. He says this. Now this is Peter, okay? Big fat mouth Peter, okay? He comes to the conclusion in life as he's matured and grown in his faith and his walk. Here's what he says. If you want to enjoy life and see many happy days in 2019, all right? Keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Wow. He says, if you want to enjoy life, if you want to see happy days, then you better get control of your big fat mouth. That's what he is saying here. If you want to be able to experience life and life to the fullest, you got to have great conversations. You got to have great conversations. And so we want to look at this topic, my big fat mouth. Now, here's what I want to help us with today, all right? It's not about your spouse. It's not about your husband. It's not about your wife. It's not about your mom. It's not about your dad. It's not about your boss. It's not about an employee. Okay, it's not about your teacher. It's about me. It's Dwight and his big fat mouth. All right? So this is personal. Okay? So don't look to the right, to the left. Don't throw the elbows. Okay? I don't want you saying to yourself, I wish she would have been here. Or I wish he would have been here. No. Okay? This is about me. And whether you're a Christ follower or not, or maybe, you know, at this start of the new year, you just decided to check out church again, what I'm going to share with you is very practical. Whether you're a follower of Christ or whether you're investigating the claims of Christ. And so what we want to do is we want to look at a passage of Scripture. It's written by a man named James who happened to be the half-brother of Jesus. And he writes these words, and they're just powerful. They're just so practical. And what I want to do is I want to take what he has written, and I just want to walk us through it. And I think that it's going to be very, very practical, but also very, very helpful for you and me. All right? So let's look at what he has to say. Here's what he says. My dear brothers and sisters. So guess what? He's including all of us. The boys and the girls. Okay? The boys and the girls. He says, I want you to take note of this. And by the way, you have note-taking guys, and I hope that you will do that. All right? I hope that you'll pull these out and take note of it. Here's what he says. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen. Not most, not the older folks, not the younger folks, not the females, not the males. He is saying everyone should be quick to listen. Basically, what he is saying is this. Before we deal with your mouth, we have to deal with your ears. We got to talk about how you hear, how you listen. And this is the first thing that I want us to get, okay? And that is this. Here's what he's saying. You listen first. That's what he says. Everyone should be quick to what? To listen. You know, you've heard the saying, God has given us two ears, one mouth. And so he expects us to listen twice as much as we talk, and we're going to get to that. You see, when we listen, and we listen well, and we listen first, what happens is it gives you and I the potential to develop healthy relationships. Healthy relationships. Because we all want the same thing, don't we? In conversations, the conversations that you have with your spouse, the conversation that you have with your mom and dad, the conversation that you have with your coworkers or friends, we all want the same thing, right? What's that? We want to be heard and we want to be understood. That's what we want. And so when two people are having a conversation, they both want the same thing. Your husband wants the same thing as you. Your wife wants the same thing as you. Your mom wants the same thing as you. Your dad wants the same thing as you. And that is to be heard and to be understood. And though we may never agree, okay, we want to be heard. We want to be listened to. Because we have something to say. And it's not so much that I want to argue with you and you want to argue with me. I don't want to argue with you. And 9 chances out of 10, you don't want to argue with me. We want to be what? Heard. We want to be heard. And yet, none of us feel heard until we feel understood. And then when we feel understood, then we feel heard. And the most important thing in any relationship, so whatever relationship that you have, whether you're young or old, whether you're male or female, the most important thing in any relationship is to listen. And that is to listen first. James says, be quick to listen. Be quick to listen. And what are we learning? Well, we need to do unto others as we would want them to what? Do unto us, okay? Do we want other people to listen to us? Absolutely. Do we want our kids to listen to us? Absolutely. Do we want our spouse to listen to us? Absolutely. Do we want to be understood by our boss? Do we want to be understood by our coworkers? Absolutely. Then what James is telling you and I is the first thing that we need to do is we need to listen. Because if you and I refuse to listen, then what happens is we're going to have great barriers in our relationship or in our marriage or in our parenting or in our work setting. Now, here begs the question then, why do we refuse to listen? Let me give you a word, ego. Ego. All right, ego. I'm concerned about my feelings, my wants, and my needs. And I want to make sure that my feelings are expressed and my wants are met and my needs are shared. And that's ego. And we all struggle with this to some degree or another. Some of us more than others. And what ego ends up displaying is in our defensiveness. We become defensive. Or we assume. We assume that we know what somebody else is talking about. And so we're already what? Fixing our answer to what they're sharing with us, and we're not really listening first. And so if you want to enhance any relationship that you have, we need to become listeners. We need to be quick to listen. Look at what Proverbs has to say. Listen before you answer. If you don't, you are being stupid and insulting. Whoa. All right? Listen before you answer. If you don't, you are being stupid and insulting. And so we have to listen first. Now, here's what we need to understand, and it is this. We may never agree, but listen to me. That's what the person is saying across the table from you and from me. That's what your kids are saying. That's what your spouse is saying. That's what the people that you work with are saying. And so how do we do this? How do we do this? I want to give us three words here, okay? The first one is concentration. Concentration. And what happens is if we're really going to listen, then what we need to do is we need to be looking into one another's eyes. We need to be focused on the person who is speaking, because when we are focused on the person who is speaking, then what happens is that conveys that we're really wanting to listen to what they have to say. Not just hear what they have to say, but we want to listen. The other word is consideration. Consideration means that we really want to understand. I really want to consider your point of view. I really want to consider where you're coming from. I really want to consider your thoughts. It's to understand. It's to have empathy, to be able to identify with. And then clarification. Clarification. Because what happens is you want to be able to say, okay, this is what I'm hearing you say. You know, I love this. I learned this a few years ago. It's someone shared with me. It says that when you're in a conversation with somebody, here's what they want to say. Here's what they say. Here's what we hear. And this is what we remember. Why? Because we just don't listen well. And one of the things that can help us is that in our conversations, we concentrate, we consider, and we ask for clarification. Is this what you're saying? And so James would say, listen, you need to get a handle on this, and here's the first thing you need to get. You need to listen first. You need to be quick to listen. You need to be quick to listen. And then he goes on with this. He says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen and what? Slow to speak. Slow to speak. And that means talk less and be slow to speak. That's literally what it means, to talk less. Now, that can be hard for some of us. But that's what we need to do. We need to be listening first and then talk less. Now, how do we talk less? Okay? How do we talk less? Well, Proverbs gives us a clue here. Here's what Proverbs would say. Do you see a conceited man who speaks quickly, offering his opinion or answering without thinking? There is more hope for a thick-headed fool than him. Wow. Wow, that's powerful. And so what he is saying here is that we need to talk less. And how do you talk less? You ask questions. You ask questions and not statements. It's easy for me to make statements. It's harder for me to ask questions. And so what happens is, if we ask questions, then what happens is that leads us to be able to understand them better. And whether it's our son or our daughter, or whether it's our husband or our wife or a coworker or a supervisor, what happens is, when we ask questions, we can even come to this conclusion. You know what? I don't see it your way, but I want to learn from you. Can you help me? Help me with this. And you ask a question, and everything changes. Everything changes. Now, my worst parenting experiences have come from not asking questions. My worst parenting experiences have come from making statements. Same way with my leadership. There's times in my life of where I haven't asked enough questions. I just made statements. And you know, it's very easy to happen with our kids, you know, because we say to our kids, I've got the experience, I've got the wisdom, I've been down this path before, so just be quiet and listen to me and take it like a good soldier, right? And the fact of the matter is if we do that, you know, they may not want to hang out with us later. Because what happens is, they're looking for you and me to listen more than giving them a lecture. And what can happen in our lives, it can happen with a marriage, it can happen with our kids, it can happen at work. You can write somebody right out of your relationship. You can be right, but in the process, lose. And yet when we ask questions, what happens is, we're saying, hey, I want to learn, I want to grow, I'm open to your point of view. And all of us have been on both sides of this, because what happens is, all right, if we ask questions, our thought is, yeah, and he's going to go on for another 15 minutes, and I've already heard enough. Or if I ask my wife, she's going to go on and on and on and on. And yet, we've been on both sides, have we not? Sure. We've all been there. And so what we have to be able to get and to be able to understand is our tendency is, I know I'm right, and I'm going to give you my advice. And we don't listen first. And we end up talking too much, because we're trying to persuade. We're trying to coerce somebody. And because I'm not listening first, what happens is, I convey to them that they don't matter. That what they're going through or what they're experiencing isn't that big of a deal. And so James would say to you and me, listen first. Be quick to listen. And then talk less. Be slow to speak. And he goes on to say this, and then slow to become angry. Wow, slow to become angry. The word anger here, okay, because anger can mean many different things. You know, for some people, anger is to be explosive, okay, is to be explosive, and they just explode. For others, maybe it's a little bit more passive-aggressive. Okay, like with Patty and I, okay, if I get angry with her or mad, I get quiet. Okay, anybody ever play that card? You say, that's childish. It might probably is, okay? Sometimes I'm childish. But the fact of the matter is, and then I wait for her to say, is something wrong? And then that allows me to be what? In control. And that's just wrong. It's not right. And so, again, it's my big fat mouth. It's not yours, it's mine, okay? But he's talking about a different type of anger here. And here's the anger that he's talking about. Drawing a hasty, misinformed, relational, destructive conclusion. That means that we hear something, and you know what? We're sizing that person up. We're determining whether they're right or wrong before they even finish their story, before they even let us know all of the facts. That's what it means here. And so what he says here is this. We need to listen first. Be quick to listen. We need to talk less. Be slow to speak. And we need to stay calm. We need to become slow to anger. And slow to anger is a decision and a result. Because what happens is, if I'm asking questions, if I am processing that, and I really am listening, then what happens is it has a tremendous impact on how I respond. And it allows me to experience a level of self-control. Again, here's what Proverbs has to say, all right? By the way, you know what? There's 31 Proverbs. It'd be a great thing just to read a proverb a day if you'd like to, okay? But here's what he says. He who has knowledge restrains and is careful with his words. And how do we get knowledge? We ask questions. He who has knowledge restrains and is careful with his words. And a man of understanding. How do we get understanding? Through questions. And wisdom has a what? Cool spirit. Self-controlled and even temper. Wow. That's amazing. That's amazing. And so what happens is, the longer I listen, the more I learn. The longer I listen, the greater knowledge I'm going to have. The longer I listen, the more understandable I'm going to be. Because see, here's what we have to learn about one another, okay? This is true of your husband, okay, ladies, all right? This is true of your husband. This is true of your boyfriend. Okay, this is true of your mom, this is true of your dad, this is true of your wife, okay, your girlfriend, this is true of your boss, it's true of the employees, or co-worker, okay? Here's what's true, and that is this. Everything that everyone does makes sense to them. Duh. Everything that they do is making complete sense to them. All right? And it goes even deeper than that. It goes to this. Everything that everyone says makes sense to them. Can I go deeper with you? Let me go deeper with you. And it's this. Everything that everyone believes makes sense to them. And so what happens is, you and I have said this, right? I've been guilty of saying this. You know, maybe you say this about your spouse, okay, or your kids, or your mom or dad, or a coach, or a teacher, or a boss. I can't believe they'd say that. I can't believe they'd do that. I can't believe that they believe that. They do. I mean, they do. And they have perfectly good reasons in their own mind why they say and why they do and why they believe what they do. They just do, just like you and me. All of us here are guilty of that. And so what happens is, this requires you and I being willing to listen first and ask questions and talk less so that we can stay what? So that we can stay calm. So we have to prioritize learning and listening. Back to Proverbs. Here's what Proverbs has to say. He who is slow to anger has great understanding and profits from his self-control. But he who is quick-tempered exposes and exalts his foolishness for all to see. You ever done that? Boy, I have. I've stuck the big old foot right in my mouth, and for all the family to see, or for all the staff to see. And I've looked foolish. Maybe you're there too. So maybe we all need to listen first Be quick to listen. Talk less. Slow to speak. And it'll help you and I to stay calm. Become slow to anger. Stephen Covey, he used this, I think it's the fifth habit. He said, seek first to understand before being understood. Now, this is something that all of us want. We all want this. And so I have to ask questions. But here's the issue. Here's the challenge for us. I have a filter and you have a filter. Our filter sometimes is our age. Sometimes our filter is our experiences. Sometimes our filter is our education. Sometimes our filter is our family or our values. And so I'm going to hear everything that you say from and through my filter. You're going to hear everything that I say through your filter. And so until I understand that, okay, I'm going to struggle. And until I understand that, I'm better off not saying anything at all. And so James is saying, listen first, talk less, so that you'll be able to stay calm. He goes on to say this. He says, my brothers and sisters, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because I will be able to be a calmer person, because I'll be able to develop a better perspective, because I will be able to be more respected. Those are all good things, right? But that's not the reason why. Because what happens is, you know, we can listen first, we can talk less, and we can stay calm, and we can leverage that to get what we want. But James is going to show us a greater purpose than even that. Here's what he says. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Wow. Human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. What's human anger? Let me tell you what human anger is. I didn't get what I wanted. That's what human anger is. Human anger. What is human righteousness? I'm right, you're wrong, and I want everybody to know it. That's human righteousness. But he says here that human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. And this is so, so important. And what's the righteousness that God desires? That I would become other-focused. That I would become other-centered in my life. That I would be more concerned and considerate about the other person. That's what he means here. Because what happens is, I have the opportunity to either tear down or build up. And by the way, in every conversation that you and I have, there's three agendas. Do you know that? There's my agenda, there's your agenda, and there's God's agenda. And usually, my agenda is to be right before you. And if we're honest, you know, your agenda is to be right. Let me tell you what God's agenda is. And that we would be right with one another. That's what righteousness means. To be in right relationship with God and right relationship with one another. But that's not usually our agenda, is it? Our agenda is to be right, and we want everybody to know that we're right. But what James is saying is that your anger, my anger, does not produce the righteousness that God desires. And the righteousness that God desires is not that I'm right, but the desire of God's plan is that I would be right with you. You see, when Jesus visited earth, God in the flesh, here's what he said. He said, I give you a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Do you know that Jesus didn't come to earth to be right? If he came to earth to be right, it would have only taken him a morning session. But he came to allow us to be right with God. And not only to be right with God, but to be right with one another. And that's what he desires from you and me. Not so much that I'm right, but that I'm right with you. Not so much that you're right, but you're right with your spouse. Not so much that you're right with your dad, but that you're right with him. And so he says that the human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. And then he really drops the plow. And he goes a little bit deeper, and here's what he says. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth. He says, get rid of all moral filth. Wow. What's he talking about here? He is talking about that we need to get out this filth, that we have to prove to everybody that we're right. I'm right and you're wrong. He's saying, get rid of that in your life, because it's an issue of life and death. What did we just learn just a few minutes ago? There's power in the tongue for life and death. He says, so get rid of that moral filth. Get rid of having to be right in every situation. Because what happens is, it's an issue of life and death, because what happens, and we hear about it on the news all the time, right? Somebody taking somebody else's life. And how does it start? Through words that escalates. And then somebody kills someone. And what happens is, if you're going to follow Jesus Christ, okay, we're called to be reconciled to God and then reconciled to one another. He goes on to say this. He says, and the evil that is so prevalent. The word evil here, what he means here is the desire to do harm or the desire to get even. And so what happens is, if I don't get my way, if my wants and my feelings and my needs aren't there, then guess what? I'm getting back at you. And he says here, and that's evil. And he says it's so prevalent. Some things never what? Change. That's today. So you don't give me what I want, then you know what? I'm going to come back at you. I'm going to sabotage you. I'm going to trip you up. I'm going to get even with you. And so he says here, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. Then he says this, okay? Humbly accept the word planted in you. Wow. Humbly accept the word planted in you. If you're a Christ follower, you know the word of God. God wants us to be right with him and right with one another. That's the huge thing. Humbly accept the word of God. That it's more important to be right with somebody than to be right. See, Peter, our buddy, big mouth Peter, here's what he ended up writing in that letter that we looked at the beginning. All of you clothe yourself with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud. And when I don't listen, I'm being prideful, ego, but he shows favor to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. What he is saying here is that God will ultimately honor you if you'll do that. He'll ultimately honor you to do that. And what is humility? Humility says that we are more important than me. That we is more important than me. It's the key to every relationship. And so James wraps it up and he says this, therefore get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Is he talking about salvation? No. He's talking about which can save your marriage. Which can save your job. Which can save your relationship with your son. Which can save your relationship with your mom. That's what he's talking about. He says, if we will humbly accept the word planted in it, it will save you. It will keep you out of trouble. It will do that. And so James would say, you know what, Dwight? You need to listen first. You need to talk less so that you can stay calm. And you know what? You do that, your relationships will flourish. You'll nurture those relationships. You'll nurture that relationship with Patty. You'll nurture that relationship with your kids. You'll nurture that relationship with the people that you serve with and work with. And so here's what James is saying to you and me. He's saying, don't insist on being right. Because you will write people right out of your life. But make things right. Be right in your relationship with your spouse. Be right in relationship with your kids. Be right in relationship with your mom and dad. Be right relationship with the people that you work with. So what does that mean for you and me? Well, here's what it means. I need to listen more than I talk. God's given us two ears, one mouth, for a purpose. And God wants me to be reconciled with Him so that I can be reconciled with the people in my life, so I can be right with the people in my life. Would you pray with me? Maybe here today you're not right in your relationship with God. And that's where we all start. Because it's knowing that we're right with God that enables you and I to be able to be right with other people. And ultimately, we'll never be right with other people until we're right with God. And maybe you can say just a simple invitation to God today and just say, God, I invite you into my life. And I want to have a right relationship with you. And if you'll do that, He'll come. Maybe for others of us, you know, maybe we just need to say, God, I'm a follower of Jesus. And my mouth has gotten me into trouble. And today I ask for your forgiveness. And I'm asking you to help me to listen first, to talk less. So ultimately, I'll be calm. And that my relationships will flourish and be strong and healthy. And we pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made or let us know how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/podcast. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media. And don't forget to subscribe through iTunes. Thanks for listening to today's message. And we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.